Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, from deepest, darkest Africa across the polar ice cap, banning the jungles of South America without a compass, without a map. This is Larry Batson inviting you to join us for the next hour for fun and education. Dr. Henry Day on Wild World. Wild World is brought to you by the SRI Label Group and Wildlife Educational Services. The SRI Label Group, the underwriter for Wild World, has an amazing selection of music at srirecords.com. Find yourself a comfortable seat. Our guest this week, Mitch Schechter with the Ripcord. It's going to be a fantastic show with lots of talk, lots of music on Blog Talk Radio's Wild World. Hello, Dr. Day.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Batson.
I pushed the wrong music bed.
Well, that happens sometimes.
I don't know what I did.
So many buttons to choose from.
Oh, well, you heard it. We heard it. That's all that matters. How are you doing?
Good. Join this lovely
beautiful day in Indiana today.
92 here in Indianapolis.
Well, it's about that. We've been enjoying weather like Indonesia, though.
Yeah. Like the Gobi Desert.
Yeah, like the Gobi Desert. But anyway, hey, I have to tell you, well, maybe we'll save it for the Wild World News, but the views on our segment we did together on Channel 8, it's almost reached 19,000.
Is that right?
Yeah, it did. We'll talk more about it during the news, but yeah, it was pretty spectacular. So,
wow.
Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
I know. From the Wild World News Desk in Indianapolis, Indiana, now Knotty Pine Covered Studios. It looks quite nice and very acoustically oriented. Along with the Wild World News staff, Dr. Henry Day and the Wild World News.
All right. Well, thank you. That was a wonderful introduction.
I pushed the right button.
All right. Are you ready for the Wild World News for Sunday, 15th of July?
Well, of course, Mitch Schechter is with us, so he can enjoy this as well.
I'm glad Mitch is here. We're pretty excited about Mitch today.
Yes, we are.
I know he's going to have a lot of good stories.
I know.
All right. Let's get the sad news out of the way. 8 black rhinos died in a botched attempt to start a new population. Yeah, the animals likely died of salt poisoning. The rhinos were unaccustomed to the level of salt in the water in their new environment, and they couldn't quite adapt to it. So trying to do right, we did wrong.
Yeah, that's just too bad.
That's too bad and stupid, too, at the same time.
Yeah, well, we got through depressing now. All happy news from here?
Yes, all happy news from here.
Okay.
And the rhinos, they're critically endangered, so that's just a bad thing. All right, we got two good news stories from Kenai, Alaska. What's the good news? Well, lynx trapping will not open on the Kenai Peninsula this year.
Cool.
That is cool. So they're just going to have to figure out something else to do. And we'll call that story the missing lynx.
There you go.
Now, the other good news, yeah, I had to do that. The other good news out of Kenai is the smartphone app Alaska Fishtopia has been designed to connect anglers and guides to a hub of local fishing information.
Mm.
We know we've got a lot of listeners there in Alaska.
Well, one of our contributors, Benny Cudd, just got back from Alaska. He spent almost 2 weeks up there.
Fishing?
They were on a cruise, and they took tours into Denali and looking for wild. You know, he didn't have an opportunity to fish, I don't think. I think Dr. Day, is he saw a couple of the bears that live along the coast and decided that he wasn't much interested in fishing.
Yeah. See, he's a lot smarter than we thought.
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but...
All right, two harbor seals rescued in California have a new home at a nature-friendly exhibit at Moody Gardens in Galveston, Texas. Yeah, the two harbor seals were moved there. They needed a little help in Galveston, so they sent them off. Now, if you decide to visit the exhibit, fill your pockets with fresh fish.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
All right, we're off to higher learning. A moose has been released into the wilderness after spending hours wandering around the University of Utah's campus. Yeah, now, it probably was a freshman. And there was no flying squirrel reported with the moose story.
Yeah, here's my question. Well, what was the university again?
The University of Utah.
I wonder how many selfies were taken while the moose was on his adventure in that university.
Moose became very popular.
I bet they did.
But if they were smart, they would stay away because, as we know, that's very dangerous.
Yeah, they are. They don't see very much, so if they're a little bit apprehensive, if they're closed in, they don't run.
That's right. We're talking a big animal.
Yeah.
All right, we got some promising news out of Kansas City, Missouri. Now listen to this. Genetic material on an elk confirmed the presence of a mountain lion, which were declared extinct in the state in the 1920s.
Guess who was wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now, that's part of my old stomping grounds. I'm from Kansas. I spent a lot of time there. It's just such a wonderful thing.
That's cool.
All right. Now, you've heard the expression, eat like a bird.
Yeah.
Well, scientists have determined that the world's bird population eats about 450 million to 550 million tons of insects each year.
Give us those figures again, Dr. Day. I want people to hear that again.
450 million to 550 million tons of insects each year. Now, we know insects weigh virtually next to nothing.
Right.
Now, that's a lot of insects and a lot of bird poop.
Yeah, that's a lot of... And then you got bats.
Yeah.
Yeah, they figure a colony of bats will eat... 2,000 pounds of mosquitoes in a year, one colony.
Well, when I was stationed in El Paso, I used to go up to Carlsbad Caverns during the summer to watch the bat flights, and it's a magnificent thing to see if you've never seen it. This vortex of bats coming out of the cave for half an hour, 45 minutes. It's just really impressive. But when I was there, they had removed 27 feet of bat guano from the bottom of the cave because it's really one of the best fertilizers there is.
Yeah.
And there were still 60, 70 feet of bat guano in that cave.
So when they were flying out, did you get struck by any of the guano?
Oh, yeah. I used to lean over the edge of the mouth of the cave. It's actually vertical. It goes straight down. So if you lean over, you can feel the bats brush against your face as they fly out.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a wonderful feeling.
We needed to go on a road trip.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time there. That's how wonderful it is.
Yeah.
All right, off to Miami, Florida. A passenger with a python, listen to this, hidden inside an external hard drive, was stopped from boarding a plane headed to Barbados. Now, the snake was obviously not a threat, but... interception prevented a possible wildlife threat there in Barbados.
Huh.
Passenger was fine and didn't make the flight.
Well, the only problem would be is if one of the other passengers bought a seat for their chihuahua. and that could be could be a problem.
Yeah. All right. Now you know counting crows.
I do.
Well, we're not
five,
counting crows.
Six,
we're counting loons.
Seven. Go ahead. Sorry.
We're counting loons. Falmouth, Maine. The Maine loon count is taking place on July 21st. So if you want to participate, contact your local wildlife officials and be part of the loon count. Now, this does not include your neighbors.
I have a question. When you're counting these loons, how do you know you're counting one that's already been counted if it's more than one or two people doing it? That's my question.
Oh, well, see, I've always thought this was a pretty weird idea, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, well, if you're not a cat lover, here's a good reason to be. Lions killed and ate three rhino poachers in Africa this last week.
Yeah. I read that. That's just too bad, isn't it?
Yeah, too bad.
That's the way it goes. Well, you know what they found. Now, maybe I shouldn't tell you, but I read in the article the only thing they found was three sets of shoes and little leftovers. That was it, so. Yeah.
Well,
you know, I have a question, though, Dr. Day.
They won't do that again.
No, they won't. I have a question. I'm wondering at this moment what Dave Davies would say about that.
Well, let's see if we got Dave with that. He usually on the show and listens to it. Dave, are you there? Dave.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll tell you something for a minute. I'm okay now. The rhinos ate three poachers?
No, it was the lions.
The lions ate the rhinos?
No, the lions ate the poachers.
Oh, that's okay. That's good. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry for bothering you. Stay awake next time.
Sorry, Dave. Okay, I'm glad he called.
Let's get on with this so we can get Mitch on. You know, I like to throw one in just because. It has nothing to do with wildlife. All right, a nude man was arrested last week for walking through the streets of Birmingham, Virginia, naked. Yes, he was naked. Now, when the police asked him why he was naked, he said, "It's very hot."
Well... Yeah, you know, you wouldn't even hear about that story if it was in Europe. But,
Absolutely. All right, it's time to play Who's Gotten Older?
Oh, and Mitch Decker's going to play with us.
All right, let's do it. Singer, actor,
right.
Ed Ames of the Ames Brothers.
Oh, my gosh. Go ahead, Mitch.
Mitch, you got first shot.
I have no idea.
Oh, just throw one out there.
Give that to me again. Give it to me again.
Ed Ames of the Ames Brothers.
Ed Ames of the Ames Brothers. Okay. I don't know.
I'm going to guess 81.
Man, 90?
There you go.
Okay. We got to give this one to Mitch. Ed Ames turned 91 this past week.
Oh, look at that.
Wow, I didn't even know he was all around. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Singer guitarist Roger McGuinn of the Byrds.
Oh, he'll know that.
Oh, man. 75.
I'll say 70.
Oh, he beat you again. Roger was 75, but he turned 76 on Friday.
Oh.
I knew I was close.
Yeah.
I knew I was close.
All right. folk singer Arlo Guthrie?
Arlo Guthrie. 69.
I'll say a little older. I'll go 75 on that one.
But old Mr. Batson got this one. He actually turned 76 this week.
Oh, we're doing. We're smoking today.
No, I'm sorry. Arlo turned 71 this week.
Oh, God. Now I'm devastated.
Okay, now you guys got to get this one. Linda Ronstadt.
Linda Ronstadt. 70.
I'll say a little older. I'll say 75.
Ooh, we're going to have to give this one to Mitch, too. She turned 72 on, well, today. She turned 72 today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, all right. I'm not doing very well.
Very cool.
Christy McVie of Fleetwood Mac.
72.
Oh, I'll just undercut him. I'll do like Price is Right. I'll say 71.
Ooh, she turned 75 this week.
Oh, it didn't even help me.
Oh, God. All right, now I threw this one in just because I used to be in love with her. Actress Cheryl Ladd. Charlie
Oh, Green. We all were.
Cheryl Ladd. I'm going to say 77.
Oh, I'll undercut him again. I'll say 75.
She's going to be pissed at you guys. She's only 67.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
How could that be?
How could that
yeah,
be?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw her not too long ago. She still looks pretty good.
Yeah, I'll bet.
All right. Let's get on with this, get Mitch on. Let's do our fact of the day. We're talking whale sharks. Whale sharks are the world's biggest fish, with big families, too. One whale shark can give birth to 300 live shark pups in one litter.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Think about that.
That just shows you the survival rate's not that great.
Yeah. Well, that's the Wild World News for Sunday, July 15th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, now HD. Beautiful knotty pine paneling. Just the acoustics sound fantastic over the radio. We want to remind everyone the SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It is all their artists and their classic recordings. Things such as Best of ELO, Little Richard Live, The Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates, a catalog of thousands of recordings available for download, or hey, just listen to. You can hear the entire tracks. Explore an amazing music collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out, srirecords.com. 60s, a single, Hey Little Cobra, by the Ripcords, blasted the music charts. Mitch, will be talking four decades of the sounds of the California beat scene, consisted of Rickenbackers and amazing vocals. And a special treat today, Meet Me at the Matrix, a brand new music from Mitch Schechter. It was a great pleasure. We invite him on Wild World.
Hey, Larry. How you doing? Great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. Man, I have to tell you, that sounded spectacular. I mean, that brought back so many memories.
Well, you know, it's funny. That version of Cobra that you're playing was something that we did not that long ago, actually, for a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the kind of thing where they wanted us to play live, and for some reason it didn't work out that way, and we went into the studio and recorded that and kind of mimed over top of that, but they wanted it to be like a current version. And so that's the one I sent you, but actually it's pretty cool because that, you know, that's a good representation of what the Ripcords sound like today. You know, you got Richie on there and Arnie and then myself and Mike Kelly and Tony Tuttle playing drums and my wife Amy singing some of the high parts for us because none of us can reach that high anymore.
Well, she does a great job. My goodness, that sound is spectacular. I'm telling you.
I'll tell you, it's an honor to play that song, you know, in live shows and everything because it's got such a history and it means a lot of things to a lot of people. It's a great, you know, it's a great song, great period of music that is here to stay. It's part of, like I said earlier when we were talking on the phone, it's part of Americana. It's part of who we are now, that the whole surfing hot rod music really resonates with a lot of people.
Well, we had Bobby Figueroa on, 2-3 weeks ago, and he's got the calendar.
Bobby's maybe one of the greatest surf Beach Boys style drummers in the world. Bobby's a good friend of mine, and you know, he's also a great inspiration to me. I play guitar and drums, and I've had the opportunity to jam with Bobby a few times, and you know, he's one of the best. He's one of the best.
What song? Now, I always think, I truly believe this. What particular song that you heard as a youngster inspired you to perform and play this music?
Oh, man. It would have to be two songs. Songs, I would say. Well, early on, because I'm 65, so, you know, I came later into the whole Ripcords scene, but you know, a lot of the people that have inspired me are a few years older than me, and I mean, I go back to probably the first thing that made me want to play rock and roll and be a rock and roller was Bobby Rydell. You know, my father would bring home Elvis records and Fabian records and Bobby Rydell records. My parents were in their 20s, you know, and I was a young guy, and they brought home, I remember Bobby Rydell's Wild One really resonating with me. And then, you know, I took guitar lessons on and off as a young kid and then stopped. And then I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and that's when I took up drums. And that really changed my life. And from that point on, it was like all systems go. And the two songs probably at that point, from that point on, bringing you up to date there, that made me want to play music and the two most inspiring songs for me probably were She Loves You and Fun, Fun, Fun by the Beach Boys.
Wow.
Those two songs, like, it was like a 1-2 punch, you know, and She Loves You hit a little later here than it did over in Europe. So by the time it hit in 64 here, it was already like a year or two old over in Europe, but it really hit me hard. And then the Beach Boys opening with that Chuck Berry riff, and that's what kind of made me go back to listen to Chuck Berry, because until that time I really had no idea who Chuck Berry was. And Fun, Fun, Fun comes on the radio, and it's like that had as much an effect on me as any Beatles song. And from then on, growing up, it was always Beatles and the Beach Boys and Beatles and the Beach Boys and everybody. I mean, there's a lot of great music from that period, no doubt. I mean, I was into the whole American invasion and British invasion, and, you know, and it all paid off because eventually I found myself kind of involved with it, and, you know, and here I am today, you know, pretty much doing it, you know, involved in it.
You are.
You know, it's fun, to say the least. It's fun.
Well, I have to say, we're just about the same age, and I am so thankful to have grown up through that era in the 60s, 63.
Oh, me too, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. The song that really inspired me, I had a buddy come over with his little 45 record player and a 45 of I Want to Hold Your Hand. Never heard it before.
Yeah.
He puts that on.
Yeah.
And I think we spent a whole afternoon just turning it over to I saw her standing there and I Want to Hold Your Hand and listen to
it
over and over and over again.
Yep. Yep. That's right. I mean, it was life-changing. And when you think about the music that was, you know, it was like not like today where you have a certain kind of genre and they're going for it. It's very much commercialized. Even though it was commercialized back then, there was a creative aspect that was going on back then because there were all these bands and yeah, they kind of emulated the Beatles in a way, but I mean, there was so much creativity going on. There's so many different styles and everybody was coming up with new things and there was new from the invasion period to like what was happening in Northern California with the Haight-Ashbury and psychedelic thing a little later on, and you know into the progressive rock period where the Beatles introduced that with Sgt. Pepper and the Cream, and then you had the Allman Brothers and Yes and all these. I mean, it's just such an amazing history and a timeline of creativity all through the 60s, and I like you said, I'm so glad that was where I grew up because it was so special. And unfortunately, I think the kids today, I sound old, yeah, the kids today really won't experience that, you know. They can't, even though they think that maybe they are, you know, to explain to them what it was really like, you know, it's just like they can't possibly experience that. It's not the same.
Well, I remember, you know, just think, if social media would have been as big back then as it is now, the Beatles and the Beach Boys and all these other bands, it would have been extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember going to a record store and just leaping through the albums, go, oh, there's a new Beatles album. You didn't know it until you went to the record store and just happened to be flipping through the albums.
Yeah, and what a great feeling that was to be on the front lines of that, you know, and like going to a record store and bringing home a Beatles album or a Beach Boys album or a Kinks album or a Paul Revere and the Raiders album or a Monkees album, anything that was new back then, it was new. I mean, it was they were doing it then. It wasn't like retro, like, oh, I got this album. It's like it was brand spanking new, and the feeling that you got when you knew that one of your favorite bands had come out with a new album was exciting. It was an event, you know. It was an event.
Well, I'll tell you what's exciting to us to have you on the program, and we've got Mitch has sent us some great music. I want to make sure I punch the right button. Red and White Corvette, Ripcords, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
I've got a 62 vet, and it's really a hot one. It's to jump off the line and take on the big gun. It looks real cool with its red hot seat and with the top down. It's really neat.
So cool in my bed, it's really fast. A super hot car just ready to blast. To shift into gear and let it fly. Go, go, Red and White, and you're my favorite ride.
Seabird is cool, but her dad took it back. Now and my Cobra's real fast. Like that Scott, some red hot seats, and the dash is really cool, yeah, it can't be seen.
It's so cool in my bed, it's really fast, the super hot car just ready to blast, just shift into gear and let it ride, go, go, Red and White, that you're my favorite ride.
Myself and my wife Amy, and tried to capture the Terry Melcher feel in that one, and I thought that one came out good. It's one of my favorites of the current recordings.
That's just spectacular. That's just
That was really nice.
I can't even imagine what that sounds like live when you're in the same theater. Gotta be extraordinary.
Yeah, that's a good one. We get people like, you know, kind of singing along to it, and we stop in the middle and clap. People clap. It's a lot of fun. That's a good one. That's a fun song to play.
Well, I'll bet you Dr. Day was doing his surf dance there at the Wild World News Studios while that was going on.
Yeah, I was. I miss surfing too.
But anyway. Well, we're going to take a short break. Our guest, Mitch Schechter of the Ripcord. We've got new music from Mitch he's going to share with us and tell us all about. Going to find out how he became a part of the new Ripcord. That, I'm sure, is an extraordinary story. And remind everyone that our program is underwritten by SRI Records. SRI Records, Shelley Leibowitz and the SRI Label Group. They've got a spectacular collection. Go to their website. SRIRecords.com, and you can listen to songs, you can download them. It's just spectacular. Also, check out our website, Wildlife Educational Services, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. If you'd like to contribute to our wildlife work and our education work we do with our animals, and also our Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. From the SRI Records label group, you'll like this one, Mitch. Here's Dionne Warwick, right here on Log Talk Radio.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by. Walk on by. Make believe that you don't see the tears. Just let me grieve in private, 'cause each time I down and cry. Walk on by.
Stop.
Walk on by.
Stop.
Walk on by. I just can't get over losing you.
on by. Hey, Mix, that was part of the era that we were just talking about.
Yeah, and that's a classic. All the Birkbeck Rock, Dionne Warwick stuff. I mean, it's such classic stuff. Classic stuff.
It's phenomenal. The SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It is all their artists and their classic recordings, Best of ELO, Little Richard Live, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates, a catalog of thousands of recordings available for download or, hey, just to listen to. Explore amazing musical collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out, srirecords.com.
Ocean City, Maryland, come to me.
Spectacular guitar band of the 60s, and Mitch, I can't think of their name.
The Ventures, maybe.
The Ventures. Yeah. Yep. Thank you. Yep.
Well, they were actually a big inspiration on that recording.
It shows. That's fantastic. My God.
That was recorded. Yeah. That was recorded live in Ocean City, Maryland, in the I think it was the convention center there, and it was a wildly enthusiastic audience. It was on a show with, there was a Beach Boys tribute band, and there were a couple other surf bands, and everybody was there. There was like a big hot rod meet out in the parking lot, and everybody was there in bathing suits and everything, and it was crazy. It was a crazy scene, and it was about 15, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15,000 people in this big arena, and and luckily we recorded the whole show, and unfortunately the only recording that survived from that is that recording. So I took it and I had it remastered, and we put it on the Cobra Beach album, and it's really great. That whole show was pretty memorable.
Tell people how to get that album, by the way, while we're on this subject?
The Cobra Beach album, aside from being available at our shows, is available on CD Baby. CDBaby.com is where a lot of this music that you hear is available. The way, you know, everybody's getting their music online these days. But the Cobra Beach album is available directly from CDBaby.com. You just put Ripcords into their search engine and it'll come up. Or it's also available on Amazon. It's available through all the Apple iTunes and Apple Music. It's available in all the on-site, online sites, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
But the easiest place for me to send you would be CDBaby.com, because there the album is in its entirety. On the other ones, they break it up into single songs, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's available all over the place.
We've got a caller from the 601 area code. We don't screen these calls, so we'll
okay.
see what happens.
Let's see.
Hello, caller. Hello, caller. Uh-oh. I think that was what they call a butt dial.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, I was getting ready to ask you, how did you become part of the Ripcords? What's the story behind that?
Well, it's funny because, you know, it was like a strange kind of turn of events that made that happen. I had spent most of my time before that as a studio musician in Philadelphia, and I ended up playing drums behind Chuck Berry for some shows and did a lot of session work in Center City in the studios. And, you know, had a couple of popular bands that played in the area clubs and things of that sort. And I bumped into a friend of mine that I had known for years named Bob Rush. I bumped into him in a music store. And I said that I was looking to get together with some guys. I've been doing work with other people, like session stuff, and I wanted to, you know, get involved in a band of some kind. And he said, well, it's funny because I'm writing a book about where are they now, and I've met one of the guys that used to be in the Ripcords. I said, oh, really? So we got together and played a little bit, and then he invited Richie down. Richie Rockin was one of the original members. And he started telling us about the history of his band and things of that sort, and he said that him and Arnie, you know, are going to put the band back together again with everybody's blessings, because everybody else, aside from Bruce Johnston, who's been playing with the Beach Boys since 1966, Phil and Ernie are retired. And so Arnie and Richie were going to get out there again, because the band broke up in 65 and really did nothing from that point, from 65 till the mid-90s. It was just kind of like an idle thing, you know. So we invited Richie down, and myself and Bob and another friend of mine, Freddie Brog, we learned Hey Little Cobra. You know, and we had Richie down, and Richie sang it, and he said, well, you know, I'm going to get some agents involved, and, you know, would you guys like to be the band? And we said, yeah, sure, that would be great. So we kind of learned some stuff, and he got in touch with some agents. To make a long story short, we found ourselves doing a PBS show called At the Drive-In in Austin, Texas. And on the show was Jan and Dean. It was Jan Berry's last TV appearance before he passed away. Bobby V was on it. The Nelson Sons doing a tribute to Ricky Nelson. Man, it was a ton of it. The Orlans, a ton of people were on it. And we went and we taped the show, and then they released it on a DVD. And through that, make another long story short, we ended up doing some shows with Al Jardine. He was touring solo with the Endless Summer Band. That's how I met Bobby Figueroa, who was playing drums in that band, and since became very good friends with those guys. And so that's really kind of how it ended up. It just kind of fell into it, and next thing I knew, I was, you know, involved in it, and then started thinking about doing some recordings. And make another long story short, we ended up signing a deal with Collectibles Records that were pretty much known for, like Sundays, they're known for like reissues and things like that. But there was a great guy there that was involved in finding artists that had hit records that are back together or still together and recording new music. So he took a chance with us, and we ended up doing two albums with him, one called Shut 'Em Down Again, which was pretty much a representation of our live show at the time, which was like the Ripcords and the Best of the 60s kind of show. And then the second album we did, Ripcords Now, which is what had Go-Go Red and White Vet on it, was more of a studio effort, serious studio effort. And so that kind of put us back on the map in terms of like recording wise. And next thing you know, we were doing shows all over the country. And it's just like I said, it just kind of fell into it. But because of that, you know, it gave me an opportunity to meet and talk with, on a serious musical level, some of my heroes from not only the Beach Boys stable, but from a lot of different people, people like Ron Dante, and you know, who did the Archie's recordings, and so we ended up doing a lot of shows with him, and bands like the 1910 Fruit Gum Company, and we found ourselves doing a lot of shows, you know, like oldies shows and like mid-level shows, mid-tier shows with like four or five different acts on it. But, you know, that's really pretty much how I ended up doing it. And it's been like over 20 years now that I've been on the road with the Ripcords, and it doesn't seem like that long, but that's how long. Yeah, it's been about that long.
You know, you just proved the point. You were at the right place at the right time.
I mean, that's what it comes down to a lot of times. I mean, obviously there's guys that I know and musicians that I've had much more success than I've had, you know, and it comes down to the same thing. No matter how successful you are, it comes down to being at the right place, the right time, the lucky connection, you know, that puts you from A to B, and next thing you know, you're in the middle of it. I mean, like when all that happened, and we ended up getting that show with PBS, and I find myself backstage sitting talking with Bobby V and Chris Montez, and we're all talking about life, you know, and
sure.
I said to myself, well, this is like, you know, this is so surreal for me, but I mean, it was always my dream, even when I was doing studio work and working with some people that were renowned. It was always like, you know, you do it and that was the end of it. You know, here it was, like, you know, I was sitting and conversing, talking music with these amazing musicians that I respected and grew up with. And I was meeting with them on a musician level, not a fan level. And that really was like something that every musician really dreams about, you know, and
sure,
and it's just, it's an amazing thing. So you're right. It's, you know, the right place, the right time, the walk, getting that door opens, you walk through it. Don't ever think twice. If you got a door, that go through it, you know, because you never know what's on the other side. You just don't.
Well, and what the most important lesson is, you followed your passion, your love for that music, and look where it led. It's kind of, we do wildlife programs, work with animals, and when I grew up, one of our favorite shows to watch on television, well, everybody's, was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Oh, sure.
And,
yeah.
And when I got a call one day from Jim Fowler, who was the co-host of that show, asking me to come to South Bend, Indiana, bring a truckload of animals and do a show with him, I know the feeling that we had was very similar to the feeling you had when you had a chance to work with your heroes.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's a special thing, and not everybody gets to experience that. And when you do, it really, it's a life changer. It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
It.
Do you ever come to Indiana? Do you come down into the Midwest? I see you do.
No. You know, we've never played. I think the original band did. You know, they traveled all over with Dick Clark, and I'm pretty sure they were there. I mean, Indiana. We've been to, you know, in Iowa and the Dakotas and Ohio and Chicago, but we've never been to Indiana.
Well, I've got a venue for you. I'll let you know.
Maybe that's something
that
you could work on, Larry, you know.
I will.
Thank you.
We,
you
got
know, that
a spectacular club.
Yeah,
everybody's
open
playing.
To go anywhere, as long, you know. It would be great. That would be great. That would be.
Well,
we'd have you on stage with us.
Oh, that might be a mistake. You might regret that.
No. Put a tambourine in your hand, you'd be right at home.
Well, I'm a musician as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I play different stuff. But anyway, so you're
That's
doing
cool.
this new music.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, a little different for me, you know, what I'm known for anyway, but I'd love all kinds of music. I mean, I've always listened to jazz and classical and country, and I love the Americano alternative thing. And an old friend of mine named Stan Dembski, who I had been recording with on and off from since the 70s. And he's a songwriter and really writing songs before I was ever writing. I learned a lot from him. And through the years, we recorded stuff, demos for his particular career at the time. And then we, in the 90s, before the Ripcords thing, we had a country band. It was like a reunion because we hadn't seen each other for a while. And we put together a country band called Sam's Acoustic Band. And then we didn't see each other again for many years. And then we got together again very recently. And it's funny, you talk about animals. Dan and his wife had gone to Tanzania.
Oh, wow.
He came back and he wrote a song because he went on a safari. And I should have sent you that song. I didn't even think about it. I'll have to send it to you. But he wrote a song called The Bushman Dance. It's about the Bushmen. They do this dance and everything. And it mentions all the animals. So he gave me a call and he said, I've got this song, you know, and it's the first song I've written in a long time. And I'd love to record it. I have a little studio in my basement, you know. And so he came over and we recorded the song, The Bushman Dance. And it was really for him, and Stan played the acoustic guitar and sang it, and then he left me with that, and I added the drums and the bass and the lead guitar and the background vocals, and we finished the song. And it came out good, and we said, oh, let's do another one. Before we knew it, this thing where Stan was recording songs, he said, you know, this is like a project. And we ended up making an album called Beaver Road, because the studio is on Beaver Road, so we called it that. And it was Stan and I and a bunch of Stan songs and three that Stan and I co-wrote together. And, and it's kind of like a country rock Americana kind of thing. There's a lot of information on the project at beaverroad.com. And,
let's listen to some of that. Land of the Quite Not Right. Now that's, I think that's
the land of the not quite right.
Yeah. Here on Blog Talk Radio.
Embers in by the bay are powder blue, hide away where we come to swing and sway and be happy. We'll get up and seize the day, blow our troubles away, go out and have a good play, and get nappy. In the land that's not quite right, there's a light but it's not bright. Nothing's wrong and nothing's right. Nothing's heavy, but nothing's light. But being here just makes everything alright. At Emerson by the bay, our little Cape May chalet, all of our cares just go away, and we don't worry. We'll get up and seize the day, blow all our troubles away, go out and have a good play, and never hurry. In the land that's not quite right, there's a light but it's not bright. Nothing's wrong and nothing's right. Nothing's heavy but nothing light. But being here just makes everything alright.
Project Bieber wrote. You know what that reminds me of, Mitch?
What?
Pink Floyd.
Really? That's interesting that you say that. Yeah.
Yeah, the vocals.
Well,
the
you know, it's funny.
Song.
I mean, you know, it's interesting that that it's interesting because like it was the furthest thing from my mind, and it's funny how people perceive it. But I can understand that. I can understand that. You know, I can understand how you could think that. You know, that's interesting.
Well, thank you. I try to be.
That's pretty good. That song was
sometimes
written
I
actually
failed.
Stan. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
No, I said Stan had written the words, and he
yeah.
had sent them to me, and then I wrote the music around it, and we just put the song together, and that was one of the co-written songs from the album.
Wow. Well, one of the members of your band is your wife, Amy, and that just proves the point that rock and roll musicians do get the hot girls.
Well, I must say I was very lucky in that department, and Amy's very talented. She plays amazing classical piano, and she has an amazing voice, and she's very pretty, and we have a lot of fun. You know, we go on the road together, and she sings in the Rip Chords, you know, sings the high parts on the Rip Chords, and we always feature her with a couple of songs. We bring her up for like a Connie Francis song and a Donna Lawrence song from the Beach Bingo movies and Beach Party movies. And she also sang a little bit of backup on the Beaver Road album as well.
Wow. Well, people ask me, I work with my wife as well, and they say, how do you do it? I say to them, it's just absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great to have your wife or your favorite sitting next to you on those long road trips across.
That's true. That is true. I mean, you know, it's nice because you're not like, you know, after a while, sometimes when you're on the road, you're like really jonesing to get home. I mean, we love getting home and everything, but when we're on the road together, it's just like it's like a working vacation. You know,
absolutely.
Like, you know, we're going to these great places. We're seeing, meeting people and seeing places around the country that we'd never have a chance to see otherwise. I mean, we ended up, one summer we ended up at Mount Rushmore, you know, which was just amazing, you know, and just never would thought that we'd be able to see that. We did a big show in Deadwood, and they have this thing called Cool Deadwood Nights, and it's like 15,000 people in the middle of the street. And they set up a stage, and they have, like, a big festival. And when we were there the weekend, it was, like, us and the Fifth Dimension and the 1910 Fruit Gun Company. And we each played a night, you know. And then they took us to see Mount Rushmore and, you know, got to see where all the cowboys were and stuff like that that you don't really, you know, get a chance to do, you know. And here we were. It was like a working vacation, and Amy and I, we get to see all that together. It's very cool. It's very cool.
Well, I have a great story from Custer State Park when I was a youngster. We went out, did the Mount Rushmore thing. And so we're going through Custer State Park, and the traffic's all backed up, and nobody's moving. And usually that meant someone saw an animal, and they just stop, and then, of course, the traffic backs up. So we waited quite a bit, long
right.
time, and my dad gets out of the car, and he walks up through the cars that are all parked, and I walk with him. And all of a sudden, he turns around to me and says, "You need to go back to the car." What had happened is the wild burros that live in Custer State Park, they blocked traffic because they were having romance.
Wow. So. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Talk about an education for a young kid, you know, I mean.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was. You need to go back to the car.
Yeah.
I can still remember those words.
Hey, your father
hey,
made the right
decision
there.
We have a little
there,
with you and your
sure.
wife, you said.
That's funny.
Yeah, we have a little selection with you and your wife, Amy. If you don't mind,
okay.
I'm going to play it.
Okay, sure.
All right, this Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, yeah.
Oh. How can some things stay the same day after day? I'm waiting for that great big change that never ever came. Why don't it ever go my way? Why does it always happen to me? Where did all my good luck go?
Schechter and his beautiful wife Amy. What a wonderful song, Mitch. Is that her on the piano?
What?
Yeah, it is. It's called Lose Your Blues, and written by Amy with a little bit of input from me, and that's one of the Mitch and Amy songs, and I think that was released on one of the Mitch and Amy. It might have been on the Vintage album. I'm not sure. We released it. Oh, Amy also did a solo album at one point back in 2006, and that was called Box of Crayons, and I think it might have been on that as well. But you know, it's just part of our library now, and it's like with how everything goes, everything is like individual songs online that you can download, and you know, and so it's part of our catalog of songs, and it's a great one.
Well, we need everyone to know how to find your music. Now's a good time
okay.
to tell them.
Okay. Actually, most of our music is available on CD Baby, cdbaby.com, and you can put in cdbaby.com Mitch Schechter, cdbaby.com The Ripcord, cdbaby.com Mitch and Amy, and it all comes up. It's all there, and a good portion of it is also available through Amazon and Apple iTunes and all the on-site locations, but everything is pretty much centrally located through CD Baby, who's, you know, our distributor for most of the stuff, and then they distribute it out through the other things. So you put it in the search engine, you'll find it, but cdbaby.com and then Mitch Schechter and cdbaby.com, The Ripcords, and it's all there. Or you can just go to homeroomrecords.com, which is the website that that Amy and I have, and that has links to Ripcords, Mitch and Amy, Mitch Solo, Amy Solo, and Beaver Road. It's all the links are there at homeroomrecords.com.
Well, what a spectacular group of songs and music, Dr. Day.
Amen. That was really nice. You know, we're going to have Mitch back again, and we're going to have Amy on, too.
Okay.
I agree. I tell you what, I'm going to try and put together. There's a club
okay.
in Indianapolis called The Vogue.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's played there. Leon Russ, you name them, they've played there. I think Asia
right.
played there. Wang Chung played. Numerous artists.
Right.
So I can see right now California Surf Incorporated in the Ripcords would.
Oh yeah.
There'd be more Hawaiian shirts. Every Hawaiian shirt would be bought in Indianapolis.
That would be a killer show. As a matter of fact, the agency that books California Surf put a package together with the two bands. They made a, you know, promotional emailer, a poster for the two bands, and we're hoping that at some point we will be able to get out there and do some shows together. That would be great because we're, you know, all great friends, and those guys are, like, to me, they're like the masters, you know, and it's great to be
yeah.
in their presence, you know, and that would be great. That would be tremendous.
Yeah, I think it seats about 500. It's a
yeah, that's
bar
that,
club.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Oh, it would
yeah.
be spectacular. I'm going to work on that tomorrow. That's
okay.
my goal. Because that way we only have to travel. Dr. Day lives practically next door to it, so.
Right.
And
okay.
it'd be close.
That's good. Excellent.
I'll do it for my own
Excellent.
Selfish reasons. See the Ripcord in California, sir. Hey, we're going to close out. Tell us about Meet Me at the Matrix.
Okay, Meet Me at the Matrix. I got a new guitar to add to my collection. It is actually Amy got it for me. It's a custom shop. I guess they call it a Epiphone Dot custom shop Royale. And what it is, it's white and it's got the gold sparkle inlays, and it kind of matches the Gretschway Falcon. And Amy got me this guitar. And it's beautiful, and I started playing around with it, and I put the machines on, and I just came up with this progression, and I just started laying some guitar parts over top of the progression. I added some percussion, and I was listening to it, and I said, man, you know, this kind of has the vibe of the old San Francisco scene, Jefferson Airplane, Big Brother,
yeah.
all those groups. And it kind of evolved into that. And so I'd been talking on Facebook to a guy named Gary Jackson, who actually owned the Matrix. He had bought the Matrix from Marty Balin. And
mm-hmm.
he was the guy responsible for this club called the Matrix that was in San Francisco. And all the bands from that era played there. And it was just kind of like an inspiration on that. And it just built. And when I was done, I said, this is kind of like those psychedelic ragas that people, you see those old movies and the detectives walk into the den and see everybody sitting around and you hear this kind of music playing in the background. And I just kind of named it, you know, San Francisco 66, 67, Meet Me at the Matrix. And it was just kind of like a tribute to that whole Haight-Ashbury rock and roll scene that was happening. And it was really written as I was recording it. you know, everything that I did, I laid down the rhythm guitar first, I put the lead over it, then I added some percussion, and it just was writing itself as I was recording. It wasn't like something I sat down to a piano and played. It just kind of came together as I was recording it, and I sat on it for about a year. You know, I didn't do anything with it, and then I was listening to it one day, and I said, you know, this is really kind of cool, so I put it out on CD Baby as a single.
Yeah.
You know, I just put it out there as a single and figured, you know, and I made it, like, the first week it was, like, free to listen to in its entirety and all that stuff, and, you know, got some really good feedback from some of the guys that I had kind of dedicated it to, and Gary put it on his Matrix Facebook page, and so all those people could get hip to this recording, and it's just like kind of like a one-off, but it came out really great. It's beautiful, and it's kind of like it's a tribute to the whole San Francisco scene. It was very important, you know, Jefferson Airplane and Big Brother and Country Joe and the Grateful Dead and all the other bands that are long gone, but you know, remembered fondly, you know, and Sopwith Camel,
sure.
and Savage Resurrection. There were all these great bands from that period that weren't as successful as the Jefferson Airplane, but it was this whole movement, and it's pretty much my tribute to them.
Well, you capture it brilliantly. I love the recording. Dr.
Day.
Dr. Day.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Spectacular show.
Yes, we were excited and knew it was going to be really good, and it was good, and it, Mitch is part of our life. It's
yeah,
kind of weird.
I had a great time, and I love talking to you guys. I love your show, and it's always a pleasure, Larry. It's always a pleasure, my boy.
Well, you're just the best. Here we go, folks. Meet me at the Matrix. Mitch Schechter right here on Blog Talker. Have a great week, everybody.
So awesome.